From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, and this is the Dugout Podcast, live looking versus the Minnesota Twins, live with the Bleed Blue Show right now. The Yankees trying to get back into this game. Tacked on an extra run. Hope Judge got all of it. No, I flew out the center. So right now in the session, Brian Mitchell is on the mound. You got to see a little bit of appearance. We saw work a lot of his fastballs early on in the game. But first of all, the last half inning watching this game, I saw Cooper and Roman slap some right center doubles to really cut the lead in half at 2-1. But looking at this game, I want to start off with Brian Mitchell. Then I'll get back down the line with what happened in Boston with the split in Boston. But looking at this game with Brian Mitchell, just watching his approach as being a starter for the first time since I can remember. I think he hasn't started since minor leagues last year. But nonetheless, a guy like him, utilizing that fastball, that's all he's got a lot of. That's pretty much his bread and butter. He used a lot of his cutter and high end counts and he's not really the type of guy that's going to really get you some ground balls on that cut fastball because he utilizes that hard force seamer most likely. He has that stiff curveball. He didn't use it enough in the first inning, I thought, but he came back a little bit more in the second inning utilizing that curveball of his. But his thing is about getting that cutter to make people pop up. That's pretty much his game. But that second inning, when he was utilizing those curveballs to Vargas, and then Vargas got on, and then allowing Eddie Rosario to hit that double to make the game 1-0, I thought he was being a little bit rattled, a little on edge. He couldn't find his location. He was pitching a little bit too outside. I thought that was a little bit concerning early on for Brian Mitchell. He sort of settled down. He kept the guys within reach a little bit. His control is a little bit questionable. I'm not really satisfied with that. But as far as his arsenal, I think it's more of a comfortability issue because we didn't get to see a lot of him in Fenway. Well, we didn't see him at all because he was actually kind of rested up for the start Monday in Minnesota. But in the bottom third inning, he had the bases loaded with no outs, and he was fortunate to get that double play off. He got the double play from Aaron Judge, who actually threw a cannon from right field. Beautiful throw to get the guy at home plate. And then with the lead still 1-0, he could have had a chance to get off the inning, and he ended up botching that ball at first base. But he did come back with the strikeout to keep it at bay. The next inning, he gives up the double to Castro, leading off that left field wall. And then Clint Frazier, I was kind of surprised the way he played. He kind of pump faked it back in. He was able to get out the inning. And then we saw Didi Gregorius later on in the next half inning. I don't understand the diving in at first base stuff. I really don't understand that at all. Just run through the bag, man. That's what they teach you in Little League, is run through that bag. But to get to the point with Brian Mitchell, he's been okay. He's been all right. He should have actually one run. He should have had that ball at first base after Starlin Castro threw it to him, and he botched it. But nonetheless, Yankees with a 2-1 lead from what the last I saw. I turned off the game. It had to go back. But give credit to the bottom of the lineup with Garrett Cooper slicing that right field right center double off Mejia, and the same thing with Austin Romine as well to get make it 2-1. And I know Clint Frazier had in the sixth inning, he hit up he hit the double down the left field line. But Aaron Judge, this was real concerning because you had the guys on the stakeholders last week. We had Worm on and Chandler was on, and we talked during Home Run Derby. And the only thing that was concerning about Home Run Derby is losing your day in and day out swing. And watching Aaron Judge in Boston and watching him tonight, man, he looks a little off. These pitchers have been working him inside. You see Mejia working the slider inside. In Boston, the guys were, whether it was Price on the mound, whoever it may be, getting that fastball in and on his hands, and they cannot let him extend those arms. So it was real interesting to see Judge a little in the funk right now. And as I thought about it, I was like, damn, man. And I'd like to see that average go back up. His average is dipped to the 310s, which is pretty still good, but not where he was early on in the season. So that's the only thing that's really frustrating for me from a batting standpoint since the All-Star break with the Yankees in the Red Sox series, even a little bit tonight. I thought saw a little bit of that in the fifth and sixth inning. They got to work the count, but they look like a tired team. Like, you could look at it like this. I mean, they kind of they played the 16-inning game on Saturday, and they ended up winning. And thank goodness for Matt Holliday's game-tying home run at the top of the ninth for that game. But then you look at the doubleheader where CC pitched a pretty good game. He got out of a lot of jams in that game. But nonetheless, CC, all crafty, moves up to 8-3 and gets the job done. He could have got bombed on in that game, but he kept the guys in and got you through six and turned it over to Tyler Clifford in the seventh to get the guys going. And Chapman got the save. But they look like a tired team, man. They're not milking the pitches like they do and picking their spots. Look like they've been kind of rushing tonight. That's the main thing I took out of this live looking thus far, Yankees versus the Twins. So we're going to talk a little bit of baseball. And I want to talk with the guys. Let's bring them on in the order they call. And shout-out to the stakeholders tuning into the Bleed Blue Show online on bleedblueshow.com and to the E-Table and sending in their messages, man. I'd highly appreciate you get to hear the great stakeholders talk baseball or basketball, football, or hockey here on the forum for the fans. The Yankees try to get a win, get back into the win column as well. I like to see Starlin Castro get going as well, because that last at-bat that I did see him, he slapped that ball to right field, but it hung up a little bit, just enough, had a little bit of air, and the guy made a phantom fake diving catch and right. It was a little over dramatic. It wasn't really needed to dive after it, but nonetheless, then Starlin Castro would get RBI, man, bringing Frazier. Let's see. Chandler, if you're out there, man, what's going on, sir? How's everything?
Hey, what's up, man?
And nothing much, man. Nothing much. How you doing, man? What was your thoughts over the Yankees over the weekend? Did you see any games versus Boston? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I actually got to see all four of them. Friday was Friday. I kind of had a feeling that something was going to go wrong with that game. It's just the way the game played out. I liked the 16 inning game. I liked the fight. They won the first game on Sunday. CC was great. And you know what? Sometimes with Price in that nightcap, you know, sometimes just the other pitcher is just better than you that day. So I think all in all, based on what happened Friday, a split really was the best they could have hoped for. I think maybe 2 weeks ago, they probably would have lost the series after that loss. So that showed me something about that. They're starting to come out of the funk a little bit. So I liked what I saw for the most part. I think Judge, he's tired. I think he's physically tired. But you have to remember that he hasn't played a full season. You know, he has not played a full season. And I think what we've seen with him and with the adjustment that the league has made and his bat being a little slow, I think he's just physically tired. These kids have to learn how to get through the rigors of a full season in the majors versus the minors. So, you know, him slowing down a little bit doesn't really worry me too much. I think Girardi needs to figure out a way to give this kid some rest is the biggest thing. I know that you want to keep that bat in the lineup, but you also got to be smart about it too. Maybe give him a couple of days, I think, and just let him rest a little bit. Even though he's starting to hit balls hard, like I said, his bat is still dragging a little bit through the zone. But other than that, man, you know, outside of the pitching issues, I think we're going to be fine.
No, Starlin Castro just struck out the Mejia just now. And he looks real frustrated at the plate, man. I mean, like I said, his previous at-bat, he hit the ball kind of on the button, kind of hung up in the air to right field. And he had an opportunity to drive in a run with Clint Frazier on third just now looking at the game. And he was frustrated after that striker, and I could just tell it by his body language, man. He's reaching for pitches that he wasn't reaching on earlier this season. It's almost like a carbon copy of what happened with him last year, because if you remember, he started off hot, and he cooled off. But in this year, he was actually higher than what he was last year, and he steadily declined. He gets you good hits here and there, but he's not driving the runs like he was, man. Anything with Starlin Castro's game that you're worried about, or is just a part of this 162-game marathon? What's your thoughts on that?
No, I mean, Castro's a streaky hitter, is the thing. I mean, at the end of the season, he's going to wind up with around 180, 190 hits like he always does, but he's a streaky hitter. And also, I don't think he's healthy, personally. I don't think his hamstrings are still healthy. You can tell by the way he's running. By the way, he's not running, I should say, when he goes to first and the way he's moving in the infield. And if you don't have your legs, then it's all arms. And right now he looks like he's swinging all arms because I don't think he still trusts his legs. But I'm not really worried about him because he's a streaky guy anyway. But let me see him in 2 weeks if he can get his legs healthy.
Yeah, that's probably something he probably needs a little bit of rest too, man. I mean, with that hamstring, I remember running the first and he kind of came up gimpy. And then he's not using his legs to drive the ball. And like you said, he's reaching for the ball. And when you get to that stuff with the sliders versus opposing arms and then reaching for balls you probably normally would have reached because you try to make up for other parts of your body when you try to drive the ball to opposite parts of the field or even pull the ball, he looks a little bit off. And I think you're onto something as far as that hammy that he had came out gimpy about a couple weeks ago, something like that. But I want to go back to that game you were talking about with the Chapman game, because, dude, I could have gone to sleep Friday night watching that stuff, because there's some games you don't blow. And I know we've lost a lot of crucial games over the years in Boston. I mean, that's what it is. We play those guys 18 times a year, last 100 years, I know. But I hate losing to the Red Sox. But the way they lost on Friday with Chapman on the mound – not able to seal the deal. I know there's some games you don't blow and some games you just got to take it off and move on. And it's good that they came back and fought back with a lot of grit on Saturday, down 1-0 majority of the game, and Holiday hit the home run on Saturday to tie the game up at 1-1 going to extra innings. But that Friday game, that still stings because you had an opportunity the way they were playing. I thought the Yankees, for the most part, were a little bit better than Boston out of the four games. They just blew it in Friday and they made it up a 2-2 split, you know?
Yeah, and see, to me, I mean, it's nitpicking, but I'm just not really a fan right now of how Girard is using the bullpen. I'm really not. I don't think Chapman should have been brought into the game because everybody at that back end has been struggling. And you had a chance to close the game out without using Chapman and giving him one more day, you know, because the last time they used Chapman, he wasn't sharp. Well, yeah, not sharp. And again, remember, he was injured early in the year, so he's probably still rounding into shape. You know, you could have used Chad Green for one more inning, and then, you know, he could have done it differently, but that's a nitpick at this point. The way it was playing out, I thought we were going to lose that game all the way. I thought we were going to lose that game because, one, I figured one of those relievers was not going to do well. And then once you have that intention to walk and load the bases, now you're putting your closer in a position of having to throw nothing but strikes. And there is something to this thought that everybody's starting to talk about now, that with so many relievers throwing 100 miles an hour, you know, Chapman used to be unique. He's not unique anymore. He needs another pitch.
Yeah, most definitely, most definitely. And then you're right, it is nitpicking. And I think I nitpicked for the fact that we said it last week. You want to get off to a good start after the All-Star break. You want to take 3 out of 4, 2 out of 3, because the last several series with the Yankees, even at the homestand versus the Brewers, versus the Blue Jays, they've had their struggles finding ways to win series. I mean, 2-2 is almost a consolation prize because it could have been worse. But the way they were playing, they blew that game on Friday. Even in the Tanaka game versus Price on the second half of that doubleheader, and in Tanaka, like when you, like I said, when you really need an ace-like performance, he's like 50-50. He's like, it's like a coin flip. It's like you'll get it sometimes, and sometimes you didn't. Not that he was bad, but that two-run home run that he gave up the bets, that was all they really needed. And Price pretty much went pitched a pretty good game versus the Yankees and giving them no runs. And you needed like an ace-like performance. I just don't think Tanaka's that guy. And as many arguments I've had with Yankee fans online, social media, on Twitter, on Instagram about Tanaka, he does do it every blue moon. But we could have really used that to really cap off the fourth game in our series versus the Red Sox.
Yeah, see, I've never looked at Tanaka as a number one. I've always seen him as like a top number two, kind of a number one, but mainly a number two. I don't look at him as the ace of a staff. Now, he's the ace of his staff because he's the best pitcher on his staff, but just because you're the best guy on the staff doesn't make you an ace. I mean, in the 80s,
yeah.
Rudy May was the number one starter. I mean, who and nobody in their right mind is ever going to put the words ace and Rudy May in the same sentence, but because he was the best pitcher on the staff, he was the de facto ace. It's kind of the same thing with Tanaka. He's the de facto ace because he has the most talent, but he's not the ace of the staff. He's not the guy that you want to run out there when you really need to close a series out. I think the guy right now, honestly, that the only guy that can do that right now is Severino, except for the fact that they're just not winning. You know, he can't get any wins, even though they're winning the games he's starting. But I would say Severino at this point is more the ace of the staff than Tanaka is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Tanaka will get you the strikeouts, but he'll give you that big blow, man, that big two-run, three-run home run, and that could be the major difference depending on the opposing pitcher. But I'm like you, man. I've said he's kind of like a 2A, like a 1B, 2A. He's not like your clear-cut number one. He's more of a number two on a good team. Like, there would be a better starter in the league I would put better than him, and then I'll run him at like as your second, you know, your second pitcher coming out of your starters. That's kind of how I always looked at Tanaka. I never really bought it. I mean, he's had nasty stuff since he came into the league. Then you had the issues with durability. He hasn't played high pitch innings. But I got to really look at the stats or the records where I got to see him and must. I would have called that game Sunday a must-win game, but some games you have to really go out there and really pitch lights out as much as you can. You can't give up the big blows. You can't give up the big 2-3 run home runs. And it was ironically, and we said this before, where he was, I would almost say, a victim of not getting the run support last year. Where this year, you know, there's some games he gave you run, the team gives him runs, and there's some games he doesn't. But he still has to hold down his end of the bargain. You mentioned Severino, and I thought he did pretty decent on that was Saturday during the 16th inning game. I thought he was pretty good. Even CC Sabathia, as much as his struggles, I mean, he wasn't even as much lights out per se, but the old man, he could still show you he had a little bit of something left in the tank. He had a little bit of struggles in the bottom of the first with the back-to-back walks to Betts and Bogaerts, and then he ended up getting the double play, getting out of that inning. I remember even leaving it off the doubles by Travis, but he ended up getting the three ground outs. So CC Sabathia, he's not the power pitcher, the 200 inning horse, but he's kind of the guy that's going to wheel and deal and try to finesse his way or pitch his way, effectively pitch his way to at least 5-6 innings. And he did a good job on Saturday, man. No, Sunday, actually. He did a good job on Sunday.
Yeah, he really did. I mean, and CC's a pitcher now. And that's really all you what you asking him to do is give you six innings. You know, give up two runs, three at the most, and keep you in the game. And that's exactly what CC's going to do. That's kind of why, you know, last time I talked to you, I said I wanted Verlander versus the kid Quintana because, well, one, all you really have to do is be willing to pay Verlander's contract. You won't have to give up much to get him. But there's another guy who knows how to pitch. And right now, we need some guys in this rotation that know how to pitch. You know, Severino is still learning how to pitch. The kid Jordan Montgomery is still learning how to pitch. You're going to have Sessa in there who's still learning how to pitch. You're going to have Mitchell in there who's still learning how to pitch. So you only have two guys right now, which is CC and Tanaka, who actually know how to pitch. And out of those two, I trust CC more than I trust Tanaka.
Do you see a lot of pressure on the starters now, knowing that Brian Mitchell is now in the rotation because of the unfortunate news with Pineda, who had a somewhat of a up and down, but above average season for his standards, going through the Tommy John surgery, which is very unfortunate, or it's almost a depleted staff as it is. Now you asking the starters to even try to even give you more, Severino, Pineda, Tanaka, Montgomery, like you said, Sessa, and you talking about Brian Mitchell. I mean, like this team is more of a staff with a lot of bunch of number twos and threes in their starting rotation. But how much pressure or how much could we ask for now with the injury of Michael Pineda? Could we honestly ask ourselves as Yankee fans to really get through July, August with this rotation. And do you see the Yankees even going a different route of trying to get another arm, like you said? Do you think they rolled the dice on that? This is almost a carryover of what we were saying last week. Do they go for another starting pitcher, or do they milk it out and try to build within and not give up assets? How do you see they play this out now with this dynamic of Michael Pineda out for the year?
Well, it's two ways Cashman can go. He can go out and get some more relievers, because with the guys he has, that bullpen is going to be burnt out in a month, especially the way Girardi panics every time a pitcher gets into the sixth inning and lets get somebody on. He wants to start going to the bullpen. That bullpen will be burnt out, you know, by the end of August. So you're going to have to get a David Robertson or somebody else in there, and basically everybody's going to be a five-inning pitcher. Or you go out and get a starter, and then you tell these guys, if you don't get a starter and you bring up the kid Chance Adams, the guys that are here now, they're going to have to give you length. So there's no more of this 4 or 5 inning deal from the Brian Mitchells and the Luis Severinos of the world. They're going to have to go 6 to 7 innings. You know, Luis Cessa is going to have to go 6 to 7 innings. They got to start giving length. That's the only pressure I think that they're going to feel is, look, everybody can't be going 5 innings because you're going to burn the bullpen out. So now we need you to go out there and actually keep us in the ball game and give us length, which means you have to stop going 3-2 on every hitter. You know, kind of like Mitchell is already out of the game. I mean, the guy hasn't pitched in since forever. He's already out of the game. They needed length from him, especially coming out of Boston, and boom, he's already out of the game. You know, he was out of the game already.
Do you think, okay, I'll go back to that question on Cashman, but going back to Brian Mitchell, maybe that's because they don't want to burn out his arm. And I'm not making excuses. I'm looking at the rationale by the Yankees. So I'm saying they're trying to work his body, work him into back to a quasi starter, per se. So I see what you're saying as far as him needing to get the lift. Maybe they look at that as far as the next couple outings. Maybe they could get another inning or two out of him. Maybe they didn't want to wear him out because he's not really used to being in the position as a starter. Just, you know, the mentality is one thing, the physicality is another as far as going back out there 4 or 5 innings when you know, his role is kind of more 1 and 2 at the best. So what do you think as far as the Yankees probably trying to go on a win, lose, or draw this game? You think they'd probably just try to ease him back into starting mentality, body-wise as well, as far as his arm? Do you think they go that route as well, or that's how they look at it? They didn't want to overlook him, and knowing that he kind of kept them in the game tonight?
Well, my problem with Brian Mitchell has always been he's never been more than a 5 or 6 inning pitcher. You know, that's been the problem is he can't get past the sixth inning. And he needs to start getting past the sixth inning. I mean, yeah, he gave him six tonight he gave him five because Caleb Smith pitched the sixth inning. So he gave him 5 innings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he pitched down in the minor leagues, but that's where I go back to the whole Girardi thing is, you know, with Girardi not trusting these guys to give him any length, man, he's going to destroy that bullpen. So I don't know how you get around that, because if Girardi's not going to trust guys to go more than 5 innings, it doesn't really matter whether they can or not.
Mm. Well, that is I thought about that as well. That is the consolation prize of losing to David Price, because Tanaka actually did pretty good. He just didn't. He wasn't like dominant. Oh, they just tied up the game. But the thing with the Yankees, he did give him. He gave him that rest in the bullpen. So if Girardi had the accessibility to waste arms, so he had. He could have gone that route as well. But let me ask you this: going back to Cashman, I'm a Yankee fan. This is a team that's kind of built for the next 10 years. You don't have to take the shortcut route to get an agent or veteran arm. I understand the rationale. If you think you're knocking on the door, I get that. I want to retain as much assets as possible. Yankees are a little bit of in a slump. We already know that. But I would like to see before the trade deadline, within the next week or so, just to see how this thing goes with the starters. I think they might be able to respond after the All-Star break. And that was a whole concern. We all said, give these guys a break, give them about 3-4 days of rest, and see where this goes. Because I'm not really, I kind of like this rebuilding the right way. You already know you're a Knicks fan, like I'm a Knicks fan, and we see the shortcut ways. And I know it's two different sports, but the Yankees kind of been on that 6-8 games over .500 string the last 4 years or so. And it's time to really go to the next step, and you got to build the right way. You know what I'm saying? So I'd rather kind of retain what we got and roll the dice that way. And if that means take one step back and go two steps forward, that's fine with me. Because the last thing you want to do is give up assets, and then the next thing you know, the veteran arm, you lease them for a month or two or whatever, and then it doesn't work out.
Yeah, but the problem is they can't keep all the assets. There's only, you know, it's only 40 men you can have on the roster. So there's guys they're going to lose anyway. Those are the guys I want to see them trade, the Billy McKinneys, guys like that who the Mason Williams, guys who and not for nothing, the kid Fowler. I don't think Fowler's in their long-term plans either. I really don't. Jorge Mateo, I don't think he's in their long-term plans because you got Gleyber Torres ahead of him. You got Castro is still there. You got Gregorius is there. So where's this kid going to play? You can't keep taking guys from the infield and say, hey, go be an outfielder. So those are the guys that you can use, and that's why I keep mentioning guys like Verlander, guys that basically are only going to cost you money. Verlander's owed close to $60 million over the next 2 years. Pay the full, take the full contract. Instead of asking Detroit to take half his salary and all that, tell Detroit that you tell Detroit to only pay $6 million of it. You'll take the other $50 million. You don't really have to give up anything. You know, the Sonny Grays of the world and guys like that, you're going to have to give up A-level prospects. And that's why I agree with you, because I don't want to give up A-level prospects for Sonny Gray. Because Sonny Gray, not for nothing, has never been the same pitcher since his rookie season. Yeah, he's got a lot of potential, but he hasn't really realized it. So why would we give up a Gleyber Torres for him? You know, why would we give up, you know, high-level prospects for some of these other pitchers that are out there when the reality is you already have those arms in your farm system, Domingo Acevedo, the kid Chance Adams, you already have those arms. So go out and get pretty much a fill-in guy, a Verlander-type guy. Who is it? The Vargas. I think the kid's name, guy, the pitcher, there's a pitcher named Vargas, I think, that's out there. Guys like that who won't cost you anything, basically, but money and C-level prospects.
All right. Hey, you got any final thoughts for us, Chandler, on this Yankees coming off Boston? Got huge games versus the Twins, man. Any final thoughts on the Pinstripers?
I think the kid Garrett Cooper is going to be better than people believe, so I don't think we're going to have to go out and trade for a first baseman. Other than that, man, thanks a lot for having the show, man. It's good talking to you.
It's always great talking sports with you, bro, man. Definitely love talking sports with you, man. You mentioned it, Cooper, because he had the nice hit early on in this game, and you need to fill this corner. You need to fill this void that we have at first base, you know, with this injury with Greg Bird being out another 6 weeks, and they've been rotating Cooper, and he's kind of needed to get the hit off, and he did, and juggling it back and forth with G-Man Choi at first base, so they kind of playing a musical chairs thing at first base nonetheless. Now that Chris Carter is finally, you know, he's been off the team for a couple weeks now, thank goodness. But it's good talking sports with you, man, with the Yankees, man. We just got to see these guys got to get into their groove, man. Build some consistency. The bats has been pretty good. The starters could hold their weight, and like you said, stretch out an inning and two out of these starters, man. I think they'll be in good shape, man. Be in good shape. You get to hear the great stakeholders like Chandler and myself. This episode is going to be on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and Stitcher apps as well. Podcast tab of BleedingBlueShow.com. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Yankees podcast, The Dugout. This is the live looking versus the Twinkies, the Twins. Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.
bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue.